All right, ready?
I stay ready. All right.
In 5, 4, 3.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Nick Campbell here. And with me, as always, is...
David Steele.
And we are...
Rhythm and Wit.
Welcome to... The Witties.
Yes.
We have made it a whole year, and our award show starts now.
It's back. 2025, the Rhythm and Wit Awards, otherwise known as the Witties.
The Witties, yeah. It's good. It's good. We spent this year, we did a lot of growing, and we've seen it within the community that we're in, and we decided that we are going to judge everybody. So that's kind of what we're planning on doing here. These are very... entirely biased based on if we've seen you recently,
right.
for the most part.
We do pay a lot of attention, I feel like, to the community. And I mean, I do in particular, as far as like, I mean, I feel like a lot of performers, like if you're heavily invested in your craft and it's like you're only really thinking about what you're doing, which is totally fair. Mm. But I feel like I definitely am a little bit of the opposite of that. It's like where I'm not really doing anything for myself as far as like performance wise, but I am paying a lot of attention to a lot of people. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that we don't know or haven't seen, but hopefully that will change.
Well, the beautiful part about this is we get to just call out one of our favorite things, people we've seen, performances. I love going to shows. I love seeing people. I love watching people. I'm very lucky to be able to put on shows and watch them. I put on one of my things I like to do for my shows is I put on the shows I want to see.
Yeah.
So I put the people on that I find that are funny.
Yeah.
And that includes some of these really great people that we have on our list.
Yep.
But yeah, man. And I like watching just like you do. You know? I love watching people finding a new person that I've never seen before do really well, or watch somebody come into their own and then watch them from the shadows, you know,
unknowingly. Follow them to their car.
If I feel inspired.
Yeah, if you want to ask them, hey, you want to be on a show?
You want to be on a show? Give me a ride. But no, it's fun, and I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, this is good. I love doing these because we were talking about it a little bit before. I mean, I like watching a lot of like end of the year awards or like kind of things like podcasts or, you know, a lot of stuff for me is like video games and movies. Like a lot of the content creators that I follow on YouTube, it's like they're always like, what are their top 10 movies of the year? And they kind of discuss it, and it's a whole podcast. So it's like, that's kind of where this idea came from for me originally. It was like, well, we can do our own kind of top 10 or top, you know, kind of awards, give out some different categories and kind of shout out. It's really just a shout out show. Yeah. We just want to, recognize our friends and people that we think did good work too.
Yeah. Well, and it's the only time I get to wear my jacket and bow tie. You know, you don't get to wear a bow tie very often. No, I think an award show.
I like the tie. I think, like I was saying, I think you should just start wearing that on every episode of Rhythm and Wit.
It goes. I might.
Because that's the thing. I've been doing it for over 2 years.
Well, I didn't want to go, you know, the bandol. What is it called? Whatever it is that is the laziest
what
thing
is
you
that
can
thing?
Do.
Why can't I think of
it's
it
It's in
either.
One of my jokes. I can't. Dad was
bolo
wearing.
Bolo tie.
Bolo tie. Yeah. But I would go bolo tie, but it's just too, you know, like if you wear a bolo tie in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like
you
it's
gotta have
too
a cowboy
on the nose.
Hat on if you're
Yeah. You gotta have boots. It comes with a whole attitude. I don't want to start dipping.
Yeah.
So but I like the bow tie.
No, I think it looks you may definitely make it work. Not a lot of people can make that work, I feel like.
Yeah, I think I would say this and my smile.
Yeah,
you know the.
Yeah, but
you
definitely
know,
fits.
You can't beat that, and it works because it's like an inflated head. Yeah. I think. Anyways, so how are we going to kick it off? What do you want?
Yeah,
to do
well, with? I kind of wanted to start off the show by talking about our year, our 2025, and kind of, you know, where you feel like you've grown, or, you know, especially because you can look, I like the beginning of the year, you know, every time there's a new year coming around, you look back and it's like, well, where was I last January, you know, and stuff like that. So What about you? What do you think, like, you've been maybe one of your biggest accomplishments in 2025 or?
The amount of shows I've produced.
Yeah. How many, yeah. What do you think it's, do you think it's like doubled or tripled even since 2024?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had Lively.
Yeah. That was once a
month. Wait, once a long time ago.
When was it? That was once a month too?
Yeah, was once a month. And I think that was at the beginning of the last year or maybe the tail end of the year before. And then I started with Put a Cork in It. We've been doing that for 2 years now. Put a Cork in It lets us do whatever we like.
Yeah.
For a little bit of free electrical. But no, it's a good time as far as the amount of practice that I've been able to do and practice putting these shows together. They let us, if we get an opportunity that somebody's coming by, we can throw on a Saturday show. So I would say on average, I've been doing about producing 3 to 4 shows a month.
Right.
So that would be, I got a lot of practice.
It's like definitely, like I said, going from one show a month, maybe to two on occasion. Now it's like 3 to 4, which is amazing.
It's hard to breathe. But I feel like if you don't do this work now, then I would really hate to have to learn it whenever I'm good enough.
Or whenever you get the opportunity. I mean, because it's like, I mean, even somebody can come to you now and like start paying you a lot of money to produce all of their shows, you know, like a club or something like that. I mean, and you definitely have the experience to do it.
Oh, yeah. And team. I mean, it's me, you, Liz, Micah, Jess.
I mean, you don't need too many people, but you need dedicated people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I thank you. Thanks, man. What about you? What would you say?
I've had a bit of a strange year. This year has been my first year working completely for myself, which is pretty crazy. I quit my job or any type of full-time work last December, and I started doing DoorDash mostly to pay the bills, but also trying to focus on my photography and build that into a career, which, I mean, I feel like, and I remember thinking this last January was like, okay, I'm going to look at where I've, you know, how far I can get by this January now. And like, I don't know. I wouldn't say, I feel like I'm pretty happy with my, I've done a lot. I've done probably 3 weddings in 2025.
Whoa,
not anything huge, but good size for me, for one person too. And learned a lot from each of those
experiences. Most people only get married once.
Yeah. I've been to more weddings this year than I have in my entire life, which is fun, honestly, because I actually do really enjoy them. I remember getting into the car after the last one that I shot. And I was just thinking to myself, man, it's like, man, I really love doing wedding photography. It's like, I don't know that I'm any good at it, but I love doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that I will, you know, it just comes with more practice, but I have made a lot of mistakes at those, you know, different events and things. And as far as just, you know, well, now I know what not to do, which is good. But, like I said, it's mostly been good because they've been smaller things. But so that's been a huge experience. And honestly, I feel good about even just doing those 3. You know, I feel like that's kind of more than I almost expected I would have been able to do. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I'll be able to do some more of that this coming year. Like I've done just a bunch of random stuff too, just like shooting. I've done some like real estate photography lately. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get into more of that because that's really easy work. shot a lot of shows, most of them. Well, not all of them for free.
Talking about the Tangled Webs and
no. Well, that's a whole different conversation. But I'm talking about just
photograph
local. Oh, yeah. You know, taking pictures at shows, which I don't. I definitely get paid the least for doing those, but I kind of like having that and just making something from it because, like I said, it adds up. Put it in my Cash App account and then withdraw like a few $100 every couple months from just doing shows. So it's a nice little income, and I love doing it in general.
Do you feel like you've had to have gotten better?
I'm always improving. I feel like in a lot of ways. I mean, it more so just improving with the equipment, because I'm always like buying. Not always buying, but like I'll buy new lenses every now and then, and it's like, okay, now you got to learn how to use this or how to use which lenses to get the kind of effects that you want. So I've definitely gotten better, especially because that's an easy way to judge yourself on too, because it's like I can look back at last year's photos and then this year's photos and it's like, well, these are a lot better than those.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's easy to kind of tell in that aspect.
Well,
so,
I mean, like I said, watching you grow this year, I mean, one, we've had tons of stuff to do.
Yeah.
So like you've been with us the whole way and you can see the progression, like kind of whenever Michael Dunn's 3-year show, those pictures were really fun. And then, also when I see you do these other people's pictures, I go, "Oh man, like this is," I get jealous. But no, it's super fun, man. And the watching you grow, something that I learned, and I don't know if this happened for you, so I wanted to ask you this question. Doing so much, I don't get much anxiety behind any of it anymore.
Oh yeah, that's true for sure.
As far as I know, I can do this.
Yeah.
I just got to show up.
I mean, especially even the wedding stuff. It's like, I mean, I remember at the last wedding that I had to do, I was just like, I don't know. I didn't even think about it at all as far as the anxiety part. I mean, it is a little bit because it's like with those kinds of situations, it's like you don't know what you're getting into necessarily, or it's like what the people are even going to be like, you know?
Yeah.
So there's some of that. But as far as like doing the work, it's like, man, if I have a camera, that's like been one of my biggest like anxiety relievers. And I realized this a while back now, but it's like if I can go into a show, like I hate going into a show where I'm not taking photos because I'll be the most anxious then, like just being a spectator at a show.
Yeah.
Like I hate that.
Yeah.
Like I just like put a camera in my hand and I feel like very relaxed and
now
comfortable.
You got something to do.
Yeah, it's like something to like literally focus on. You put something in your face and you're just looking at things and you're kind of not worrying about the social aspect of, you know, where you're at or whatever. So yeah, I love that part of that, my job as far as being a photographer and getting to go to so many shows that, you know, I probably wouldn't be at otherwise just because I'd more inclined to stay home if I don't have to be somewhere.
For sure.
So, I mean, that definitely helps me stay active and stay in the local community more.
I was just talking to my, I guess it'd be like my brother-in-law kind of, but he was telling me that he really liked going on these cave explorations because he's a scientist. And so he would go on cave explorations and they would map the caves. But a lot of times what they would do is they would go and just have fun and just climb through the caves. And one of the things he said, he was like, he's like, it's hard. Why would I want to go do that without a reason?
Right, yeah.
And so he was like, he really only liked mapping and doing all that, even though he really liked the climbing, only if it was paired with
a
task.
Work. Yeah, thing you had to get done.
That's why I like producing too, because it's like, well, I'm here. I can move around.
Right.
You know, I don't have to feel so
kind of gives
up.
You a purpose for being somewhere. More so than just be entertained.
Yeah, but less anxiety this year. That's what I love.
Yeah.
That's what I've found, that I can do my craft without having. I like nerves. Nerves are different.
Yeah.
I get nerves before a show, but I get jittery.
Right.
You know, get a little crazy. But
the anxiety part is like, that's the part that's not helpful at all.
No.
It's just, you know, taking up space in your brain that should be, you know, used to focus on what you're going to do instead of worrying about what could go wrong or whatever.
Yeah. Or if something does go wrong, it's like, well, I had no control over that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we get to figure. Well, it's like you said, making mistakes.
Yeah.
Dude, I forgot things.
Yeah.
You'd have to like improvise or go get stuff or call you or have somebody bring me something.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, oh, these will.
Yeah.
The show can't go on without the equipment.
It's like you start eventually once you do this kind of stuff long enough or anything, whatever you do it long enough, you realize whatever is going to go wrong, because things will go wrong, but life will continue. You know, it's like you'll get through it. You know, you'll figure out a way to.
Or you're dead and it won't matter.
Yeah.
But that's what it feels like. It's like, oh, I know I'll get through it.
Yeah.
Like that's what I feel like I've learned this year was in my act. It's like, oh, I'll get up there and I'll do my thing.
Right.
You know, I'll be who I am. It's not going
to
stop.
That's definitely how I feel about photos. Cause I used to, one thing as far as like anxiety with my craft is like, I like take way too many photos. mm-hmm. usually, and that bites me in the ass a lot because then you have to go through those photos and edit them, and I end up with a lot. But it's like good for the client, I guess, because they get a lot of photos. But the reason why I take too many photos is because I'm nervous about not getting good photos. You know, it's like you want to take, it's better to take more and get, you know, some good stuff out of there than not take enough. And then you're like, well, I didn't get this moment that I wanted to capture. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's definitely something I'm still working through. But I do think that I've kind of learned to trust that I don't know what I'm going to get. You know what I mean? Just like whenever any show or any performance that happens, mm-hmm. you don't know what's going to actually happen. There is a plan. Every performer has a plan, you know, but as a viewer, observer, you have no idea what's going to happen, especially as somebody that has to try to capture that.
Yeah.
So it's very kind of tough, but I've kind of just learned to, like, you know, I've learned by doing and getting good stuff. It's like, I'm going to get something. I just don't know what it's going to be, you know, which is kind of fun. I mean, that's definitely one of the fun parts about it, is going through all those photos and be like, oh my God, like, this is an amazing shot that you didn't even realize was going to be as good as it was. So.
Well, that's the nice thing too. It's an ever evolving canvas, mm-hmm. you know, like, I feel like performing comedy is like that. It's like, I don't get to choose what canvas I would draw mm-hmm. on tonight.
Yeah.
But it might be a drunk canvas, you know, it might be a bachelorette party right. canvas. But in your case, it's just the earth and the world is moving around you and you're trying to capture it.
Yeah,
you know?
Try to get something out of what's happening for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I think this next year is just going to be even better. I mean, I think that I'm always excited for a new year and kind of feel like it's like a new opportunity to to start over in some ways or try something different. Also, just to see what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is going on 2.5 years of the podcast, you know, and it's like, man, the stuff we've done in that time has just been like wild. So,
yeah,
I'm sure there's just going to be even more fun stuff that we're going to get into this coming year.
3 years ago,
yeah,
I would never thought we'd be where we are, but. But yeah, and other people have had an amazing year as well.
Yeah. Good segue.
So what we would like to do is highlight those people and let y'all know to catch them and do things.
Find
and watch
out.
Them.
Yeah, all these, most of these people are our friends. So like Nick said, we have some biases, but of course we try to be really objective and pick who we really thought did really well for these categories and who deserves to be, you know, recognize, and just hopefully if you haven't heard of these people, then look up their Instagrams and start following them.
Yeah, because they're going to be doing big things here.
Yeah.
You know, specifically at Put a Cork in a Winery.
Most likely. The place to catch them. All right, so you want to get into it?
Yes, sir.
Let's get into the first category.
All right.
And we have...
Favorite episode of Rhythm and Wits.
All right.
So let's see. You can go first. For each of these categories, we each have a pick. So there's actually two winners for each category.
Yep.
Nick, who is your favorite episode of Rhythm and Wit?
My favorite episode was Larry Tibbs.
Yay. Yay. Congratulations, Larry.
Yay. Hey, today we have the very funny Larry Tibbs.
Yo.
What's going on?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of Tulsa, comedian out of Tulsa. How's it going, man? What's been up, man? You just hot off of Looney Bin headlining set.
I did. Just been working, man. Just been working and grinding. That's the cliche answer. Just working.
Yeah. Just
grinding.
Right.
Larry Tibbs, it was a really fun one. I feel like this was one of ours that we started doing these where we would interview the headliners for Put a Cork in It.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is my portion of the ecosystem that is Rhythm and Wit. We know David is kind of heading Rhythm and Wit and going in a lot of different fun directions.
Yeah.
So when me and Dave can actually get together and do interviews, it's a lot of fun and I really love it. And in this one, I feel like it was one of our most professional interviews.
Yeah, because we didn't really, I mean, I had never really met Larry. I'd seen him perform at Blue Whale. I think the year prior, but I mean, yeah, this, I don't think that you definitely had more interactions with him than I had, but I mean, I feel like neither of us really knew him at all. So it was kind of very like, you know, we knew professionally, and I'm sure he knew who we were too, but it was just one of those things where it did feel like a kind of a special occasion as far as just bringing someone on that we really didn't know at all.
Yeah, well, that was our first time we got our first coffee. We got a coffee maker.
Yeah.
So we can offer coffee to people who show up.
Oh, that was also courtesy of, this is a quick shout out, but I used the, we had a generous donation from Jennifer Johnson.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she gave me a small donation just to help us for the podcast and to say thank you, because we did an episode for their show, Reweathering America. Go check out that episode. But yeah, I used that money that she gave us to buy a coffee pot.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yep. Then we used it, and it is by...
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore is the backer, or no, she made it herself.
Her brand.
She made it herself. She made it with her hands.
She invented the coffee maker.
So thank you. But yeah, Larry Tibbs, that's my pick.
Yeah.
Best that was favorite episode.
Very fun episode. I remember having a great time just talking to him about all kinds of stuff, comedy. And I mean, I think he's a very seasoned comedian too. So we get to learn a lot. So my pick for favorite episode of Rhythm and Wit. This is a tough one for me because I didn't know whether I should go with, like, I mean, I've done so many different things on the channel without that you weren't even involved in, you know what I mean, as far as my own personal podcast and just special videos that I'll go and make. But I kind of wanted to keep it to just the main Rhythm and Wit podcast. And in that category, like, I think one of my favorites, because we had so many good ones, but... I think one of my favorites was with the most recent episode of Rhythm and Wit, where we had Will Davis and Julie Drake, I think two of my favorite comics in the scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God,
yes,
today.
So we're here. This is the Rhythm and Wit podcast, episode 52. Yeah, we got a very special episode because we have...
Julie Drake and Will Davis with us.
Back for the second time.
Yeah, how's it feel? Does it feel better?
Yeah, it feels great that I'm not here at night.
Huh? Yeah, what's that, night?
I was here at night last time. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is first thing in the morning, and right. I love this.
The last time I was on the show, I had like, no sleep the night before.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, I watched the episode, and I was like...
Can you tell?
People are going to be like, what is she on?
So that's kind of an easy choice for me. And it was very special too, because those two were previous guests already on the show. So it wasn't their first time, but it was kind of a special occasion as far as like bringing someone back on. We've never done that before, really. Yeah. And so, but this is also kind of where I feel like the Rhythm and Wit podcast itself is heading as far as bringing on different, more like, a couple of comics on to have more topic-based conversations instead of just about the comic themselves, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. We kind of pick a topic, and that one was, of course, headlining and trying to promote your headlining show last month.
Well, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I took all that information and went straight to the stage with it, and Will Davis was there. He was he was actually hosting the show, so it's always nice to have him. He sets a really good stage, and I learned tons. I really like the format of bringing people in and discussing kind of like either challenges or trying to get some understanding in the craft. So I think, like you said, we will keep doing that.
I think that's kind of something that we've kind of moved away from. When we very first started this podcast, it was supposed to be about dispersing information and kind of discussing, you know, these topics and these different aspects of creativity and performance and all that stuff. And I feel like, I mean, obviously we always do, that's all we ever talk about, even whenever, but it kind of had turned heavily into like a guest, and all about that guest, which is great, you know, but I think that I do like getting back to that little topic-based conversations. And I think we've already kind of started going more in that direction. So we'll definitely continue. We've got some ideas for some future guests and bringing back some comics that we've already talked to. Mm-hmm.
Maybe mixing and matching some performers.
Exactly.
So we can get music and comedy.
Yeah, that too. I mean, just one kind of idea along these lines is like, we definitely need to do this eventually, but I'd like to put together maybe even like me, you, and like three other people and do like a topic about AI, you know, and just discuss everyone's different. And we could get like a comic, a musician, and a visual artist, and just all have different
ideas.
Let's
get a CEO.
Yeah.
You know, let's get somebody who's going to like
it. Get somebody from Microsoft. All right. So congratulations to Larry Tibbs and Will Davis and Julie Drake.
Congratulations.
Those episodes are available on the channel, so go watch them. All right. Next topic we have...
Favorite venue to perform at.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because I don't think I performed at any venues. So I haven't been playing music in 2025, which is sad, but also, I don't know, kind of a nice break. But I definitely will, hopefully we'll get back to it before too much longer. But anyways, so for me, I kind of went with my favorite venue to shoot photos at, which is a good idea to switch it up. And that place for me is kind of a tough one because I've shot in a lot of different venues, probably more so than most people perform in, you know what I mean? Like, anyways, my pick was for the music venue Resonant Head in Oklahoma City. It's a beautiful venue. It's one of the best sounding venues probably in the city because that's literally their name. Comes from that resonant sound that they put a lot of thought into.
How many people does it carry?
I don't know. It's not a very big one. It's maybe like a couple hundred, if that. I mean, it's, you know, it's standing only, so I mean, you could probably cram a lot of people in there, but I don't know what the capacity is. But it's got a beautiful stage and some of the best lights ever, like for a music venue, and like it's just a nice big room you can move around in. I got like a ton of great angles from. I went to a Lunar Division show there this past year and shot. And I've been there once before also, again, a year before with Lunar Division. I need to go to that venue more just to shoot photos because I love it. And there's this interesting thing I wanted to shout out. There's like this weird, like, because it's kind of like an Art Deco kind of vibe or kind of 70s. I don't know. They got kind of cool stuff all over the place. But there's this like pillar and kind of in the middle near the bar that's like all these like mirror like strips like all around this pillar that are like kind of just mirror glass or whatever, right? But I love it because like you can get a lot of cool shots in there, like shoot, like I can shoot the band in the pillar reflected and get like, because you can even like line it up and get like different members in different of the sections of it. I don't know.
Dang, dude.
It's just a cool little thing that I always play with when I'm there. But
I like that.
So anyways, that's my pick for favorite venue to shoot photos at is Resonant Head. And for you, Nick, what was your favorite venue?
All right, this was tough. This was tough. I performed in a lot of fun, interesting, different places. Mm-hmm. Obviously, put a cork in at Winery's home base, so you really can't pick them. I would say, so little honorable mentions, 40 West, that's a really cool venue out in Mustang, Yukon, ran by Madam Meatloaf, Morgan, and I love working there because it's really great sound, great for a band, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I'm pretty sure I've been there before and seen music a long time ago.
By far, one of my favorite places to work was with Matt Farrell and Shauna Blake out in Woodward, Oklahoma, a place called Long Shots. And it's an arcade up top and a bar music venue on the bottom. Amazing food, solid. The guy really cares, you can tell. And then they take the video games and all the stuff out up top, and they make it into a comedy room mm-hmm. with the stage, mm-hmm. everything set up. They have low level lighting. They have really great lights on the stage. Sound sounds really good, and the people are there for it.
Nice.
So yeah, Long Shots by a long shot is one of my favorites from this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. I remember, I've never been there before. I haven't been there yet, but I know that Matt, I think he does quite a few shows out there. Or at least I've seen him promote it.
Well, he's been, I think he's been suggesting people to.
Yeah,
out there, but,
okay. Yeah, I like that, though. Mm-hmm. So shout out to our winners for favorite venue to perform at. Nick's pick was Long Shots, and mine was Resonant Head.
That's right.
So, yeah, should go follow those venues. And like I said, definitely go see the show at Resonant Head. It's down on Capitol Hill District and Southside. Mm-hmm. Cool little spot. They're, I think, kind of rejuvenating that area. So anyways, all right, next topic. This is kind of a really fun one.
Favorite Instagram reel.
Yeah, these are always very good because obviously we're very heavily on Instagram and it's kind of a something that's necessary for a lot of comedians and musicians. So, Nick, who did you pick for your favorite Instagram?
This was by far the easiest pick.
So you knew this choice like months ago.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, that's what I'm going to say. And I mean this when I say this. Josh Trio, his Kilo Comedy Showcase promo.
What you on my wall?
But yeah, dude, the promo that he put out was just wild. He's just, he uses a false, he tries fakely speak Chinese and then has these really fun images and he edited it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Dave and well I were done, looking at it. It's really well done and very silly, which is my sweet spot is silly.
No, it's amazing reel. I definitely
by far one of my favorites this year.
It definitely stood out to me whenever he put it out. I mean, that show was a while back. So
well, I think it worked. I think it was a good turnout that
day. Definitely effective. All right. So shout out to Josh Trio for that one. My pick for favorite Instagram reel this year, and similarly to you, because this came out back in October, and I remember thinking, like, that's going to be my pick. And the pick goes to Justin C. Russell for Strange and Unusual Encounters.
Some people hear bumps in the night. For me, that's a Tuesday. But when the strange gets stranger, and the unusual just gets downright creepy. Well, that belongs right here. Hello, welcome to Strange and Unusual Encounters. I'm your host, Justin C. Russell, comedian by day and a little paranormal by night. So let me take you back to my very first ghost encounter. I was 6 years old, living in a trailer with my mom, dad, and older sister. And that day, I learned an important lesson. Number one, ghosts are real. Number two, if you build a fort in the living room, they're going to want in. If you or anyone you know has had a strange and unusual encounter, have them contact our offices at. Well, it's just my DMs, but I'd love to hear about them. Until next time on Strange and Unusual Encounters, don't get scared.
That was fun watching his reel.
He does. We were talking about this a little earlier too. Like, he's very on top of the game as far as TikTok and Instagram reels, and like just really putting out a lot and doing a lot of creative different things. I mean, even though I think this one was very funny and I love Justin's humor in general. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's, it's very effective in turning it into video content. But these, for whatever reason, just made me laugh so hard because it's not like anything super, you know, unique or different as far as the editing, which is very simply black and white, you know, filter with like some cut ins. But like, I just think something about it, like his earnestness, yeah. about the, just the ridiculous.
He's talking about the pitter patter of feet or whatever. Yeah, dude,
it's so funny. So like, I just he did about like maybe three different ones, but I love him so much. Shout up, runner up for this one too is also goes to Justin C. Russell for his most recent series, the doorbell comedy.
Yeah.
Ring doorbell cam. I think that's just so creative and it's just like so simple, you know. It's like, man, that's just, you know, take your Ring camera and just film something with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Yeah, it's gonna pick up stuff like, anyways.
Why not? So yeah. I love Justin. His definitely check out, follow him on Instagram to see more, and Josh Trio, because they're both very funny.
That's right.
All right.
On to the next.
Next category we have
favorite local podcast.
Now this one is definitely a tough one because the real choice is, of course, Rhythm and Wit.
Obviously. Yeah. But we can't. It seems biased.
Yeah.
So we decided to pick other ones.
So let's see. Who did you... Oh, yeah. You go first this time.
Okay. All right. I'll go first. The one I listen to the most, it's been funny consistently, very fun, Copper Valhalla.
Yeah.
The boys from Copper Valhalla.
Congratulations.
And then as a side note, one of my favorite episodes was Melted Crayons.
What weird theories?
I can't say, dude. I'm for real. They're gonna...
Well, talk about it in, like, kid terms or something.
Okay. So, when a kid has a specific crayon that they don't like...
Okay.
And they start taking all the crayons from the other crayon boxes... And they start melting them down.
Okay.
Because they go, this crayon sucks.
Right. It's a terrible color crayon.
Everyone would think, well, hold on. That crayon's good. I need it to color these specific things, like my banks and my...
Yeah. yeah.
My, like, my show business and my lawyer stuff.
Yeah.
That's bad. And all the kids would join forces and be like, give us those crayons back.
Right.
You motherfucker.
Yeah.
And they break into his hideout and they go, God, he took out most of them. He took out like 6 million of my crayons.
Shoot, that's a lot of crayons.
But the rest of these crayons, we can keep those.
Yeah.
Now the people are being like, it was actually a pretty good idea melting those crayons.
Whoa.
Yeah.
If you guys know what I'm talking about, if you've listened to it before, it is a reference to a very weird time in history, but it's very accurate and funny. And so Tyler Barris took that on stage after he did that. So I got to see it go from the pod to stage.
Well, that's fun too, for
then
sure.
Got to watch him work it out and make it better.
Yeah.
So it was like really cool to see that little string of events. Mm. So if you get a chance, listen to Melted Crayons and then go watch Tyler Barris as well as Dace Carlson and Kayla McCurry on Copper Valhalla.
That's a great show. I love that podcast in particular because it's one of those ones where it's like, you just have no idea what they're going to talk about. They have no idea what they're going to talk about.
It's wild sometimes.
And that's just the best part. It's just like, it's a great podcast for whenever. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's just, you just want to turn something on and just turn your brain off and just go. And it feels like you're just hanging out with your friends and just having a good time, just riffing and making up jokes. So
making fun of Dave. Check out our podcast. Yeah, we did a buddy podcast
crossover. Check out the Rhythm Wit cross Copper Valhalla podcast on our channel. Mm-hmm. That was a fun
lots
one
of
for
dudes.
Sure.
Lots of dudes in that one.
So that's a great podcast. Definitely deserved that win. My choice for best or favorite local podcast is the Keeping It Wood podcast with our good friend JJ Wood.
JJ.
So loud. That was so loud. That kind of made my ear ring a little bit.
It's like for the how empty the room is, it's just like it sprung.
Yeah.
These walls are hollow.
They're very hollow walls, man. You could definitely hear people doing it, you know? Like catching them like you're at a Coldplay concert.
Coldplay sucks.
I've heard they're really good live.
But with Coldplay, don't cheat. Coldplay, do you think with Coldplay, the way they did that, like, they have to live off that for the rest of their lives now. Like, Coldplay is now majorly popular again off of a meme.
Man. Yeah, like, low-key, they're probably like, oh, that sucks, but like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I bet their streams have gone up.
Oh, 100%. What do you think Klox is at right now? 3 billion?
Oh, yeah. it was so funny. Like, that whole... Oh my God, that was
hilarious.
All
they had to do was act like they belonged. That's it. Don't freak out when they show you on camera, and that would have never been posted.
Also,
that's all you had to do.
Don't cheat.
Don't cheat. Do not cheat.
We'll get back into that in a second. Guys, welcome back to the Keeping It Wood podcast. Hi, it's me.
I think similarly to the Cover Valhalla, I think that's one of these podcasts where it's just fun to just hear somebody who's really funny. I mean, JJ's been doing this for a long time, and he's very funny, very witty, and just kind of, I don't know, he's got that. I mean, he is a stoner, you don't have to I mean, but it's like he's definitely that stoner feel to it, where it's just like very chill. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that for sure.
Very casual. Yeah, he talks about a little bit of crazy stuff. Yeah. But and, you know, and keeps it funny.
Yeah, I think he's got, I love him hearing him talk about just like pop culture and just different ideas, and just, you know, I think he kind of points out the absurdity in a lot of like trends and things like that, and just generally.
What would you say is more like pop culture kind of?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, his questions are very unique.
He definitely like pays attention to a lot of that mm-hmm. stuff, so it's fun to hear him riff on it. Yeah. I guess he hasn't been doing this as much lately, but I used to love hearing him bring on guests with their other comics.
Oh, I did one last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Or this year.
Yeah, I guess that was this year.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
I was listening to him heavily whenever he had a bunch of people on there, and not so much lately. I need to get back into the rotation, but. Yeah, but he's definitely keeping it. He's keeping it wood and keeping it going. And the same thing with Cover Valhalla. Both of these, I think, are long running, you know, as far as they're been doing it for quite a while, especially for a podcast.
Yeah, local podcast.
Yeah,
sure.
People start podcasts all the time, and then they quit doing them, and then they start another podcast, and they quit doing that. But yeah, these two are definitely... very consistent, so check them out. Follow both of them on their podcast services, or YouTube is a good place to check them out. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is going to be the last category for the first section. Next one we have is
Best Up-and-Coming Comic.
Now, this is a new category that we haven't really done before, which... I guess, there's always new comics, but as far as like real standouts for me, yeah, did you go first last time?
Oh, yeah, I did. Go ahead.
So this best up-and-coming comic, I'm going to give my award to the very funny Heidi Fitz.
Hey, Heidi!
Helper for the Rhythm and Wit channel, so you can see Heidi... every month with me doing the upcoming events with Heidi Fitz on the Rhythm With channel. But not only that, I mean, she's an amazing person, but also very funny and very, very hardworking. I think that the, one of the reasons why, I mean, she's only been doing it for maybe like less than 6 months. I mean, mm-hmm. and she's already getting shows all the time, you know, getting put on shows and doing a lot of really good work.
Very diligent. She's working at
yeah.
it. Yeah. And where did she start?
Yeah.
Working at winery.
That's the thing. And it's like, I remember seeing her on that first show mm-hmm. and it was like, you know, she's fine. Well, obviously it was her first thing ever. So it was like, it wasn't really, didn't really necessarily stand out to me, but the next time I saw her was probably maybe 2 or 3 months later mm-hmm. at Put a Cork in It on one of your shows. No, it was even before that. I don't know. But anyways, but I was just like blown away. Like, holy crap. She's really put in the work and really just killing it out there and gotten hooked up at Twisters. So she's always got things going on there.
She's got her own show.
Yeah.
She's got her own show on Valentine's Day.
The Blocked List Presents with Heidi Fitz coming in February. I can't wait for that. I think that's such a good idea. Mm-hmm. But that's like insane. Like less than a year and you're already producing your own show. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Well, she's working at it.
Yeah. She deserves it. Mm-hmm. She goes to, I know she's was going to the writing workshop at Twisters every week, you know, I mean, really
Mondays.
Yeah. Every Monday
with an open mic after, if you guys are interested.
So, yeah. Definitely deserves our award for best up-and-coming comic for Dave's pick. And who is your pick for best up-and-coming comic?
All right, this is tough. It's always tough, you know, doing these picks.
Because you see a lot of new comics. Yeah. Like, I don't see... Yeah, before you say the name, I haven't even seen this person. I know who he is, but I haven't seen him perform yet.
Right now, he's one of my favorite people to watch. Because he's evolving fast. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, okay, this is, and he's really good as far as just, he's got great timing. But yeah, here it is. I'm going to tell you who it is right now. He's Brentley Cook.
Yay. Hey, congratulations. What's up, Brentley?
He's done a few shows. Mm-hmm. I think he just started this year too, but he writes really well. Mm-hmm. He's coming up fast. And I put him on a show. He blew me away. Mm-hmm. He laid on the ground. he like made this whole thing. He had like I'm not going to tell you, but he had like a bell. I'm not going to tell you what he did with it. Just know it was dirty. But no, it was super fun. And man, I really can't wait to see what else is going to come out of this kid.
Yeah, that's cool whenever you can see like the potential. You mm-hmm. know, it's like he's got something. It's still forming.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not just the normal stuff that we do, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's
good
awesome.
Job, Brentley.
Thanks.
Good job,
congratulations
Heidi.
To Brentley and Heidi mm-hmm. for those wins. And follow them on Instagram because they're going to be doing a lot of shows that you won't want to miss and more than likely be on one of Nick Campbell's shows soon. Mm-hmm. This episode of Rhythm and Wit is brought to you by buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit, where you can go and make a $5 donation or possibly more to Rhythm and Wit. It is our way of raising money here on the podcast. And what you do is go on to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit, check out the link in the description of the video. And then what you do is you can make a donation, which is a cup of coffee. You can make a donation for one cup of coffee, which is $5, 10 cups of coffee if you can afford it, which would be amazing.
$50.
Yeah, so it kind of goes from there. And what you also do is when you make the donation, it will allow you to leave a message and we will read your message here on the show. Just like Don bought 3 coffees and he says, "Stay caffeinated, fellas."
Hey.
Will Thanks, do. Don. Yeah. Claybar has a comment. "You both rock for highlighting the local community. Keep on showing off what creativity OK has to offer."
All right.
So that's something we love
thank
to
you.
Do.
Claybar?
So, yeah.
Claybar.
So thank you to those two donations. And then, yes, if you make your donation, we will shout out your message here on the channel.
Yeah. So we'll say your name. It's super
right.
fun. And we're back. All right. Dave.
All right. So we'll go to the back half of the awards now. So we got 5 more awards leading up to the big award of Performer of the Year.
Bum, bum, bum.
So first category in the second half is going to be
favorite local band slash musician. All
right. I didn't know if we were going to get that slash at the same time. That felt good, dude.
Nailed it.
All right. You went. I'll go.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
One of my favorites from the year, watching some musicians, a lot of open mics, a lot of things online, is Lucius Coldstone. Yeah. I love his reels. It's just very bare bones. And I love just a guitar and a voice. That's my sweet spot, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I saw him at Brandon Kilo's special recording this past, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty
last
recent.
Week or week before. Mm-hmm. And man, it's just, dude, an empty room. Or not empty room, but like a quiet room with him just playing is that's a nice feeling with a couple daiquiris in you. You know what I'm saying? But I was just sitting there. I was like, I love having this feeling whenever I was drinking and I was just hanging out. Liz was by me and it was like all our friends. Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting there watching. And I remember thinking like, are we? I can't believe this is happening. Like, this guy is so good. Awesome. And the show was good. Yeah. It was just like, oh, this is great. I needed this.
No, definitely.
But yeah, Lucius, man, by far.
He's definitely somebody. I've seen him quite a few times this year, actually, mostly at open mics, because he does a lot of open mics.
In Mycelium Gallery.
Yeah, he was there this, like, a couple months ago. Anyways. But I know that he's recently got the attention of Brandon Kilo, who's been putting him on all kinds of stuff, which is great because I think Lucius definitely deserves the spotlight and the recognition. But yeah, I've seen him play it a few open mics and just like was blown away the first time I saw him. Like I was like, this kid needs a band. Why doesn't he have a whole band?
That's what I was like, that or a fat loop pedal.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean? Like he doesn't need it. Obviously he's, you know, great on his own, but like how great would it be to have
the first thing I thought, somebody give this guy some money.
Yeah.
Like, let him do what he wants.
But yeah. So, man, I love it too. Cause it's all original stuff and it's just like, man, these could be on the fucking radio.
Yeah.
Easily, so hopefully he'll be on the radio before long. Anyways, so congratulations to Lucius Coldstone. Go follow him, and yeah, great. Also, Instagram presence, he definitely keeps up with that. And for my pick for favorite local band/musician, this one was an interesting group that I've seen a lot of interesting. That's the thing I've been paying more attention to lately is these kind of more experimental or different types of groups. And this one's not necessarily that experimental, but the name of the group is That Sick Feeling.
I really don't like being on the road. I'm gonna explode. Just bizarre.
They're a two-piece. It's kind of like this like 50s style, very, you know, bare bones music as far as lyrically, you know. Mm-hmm. And but it's very like their song, one of their songs is called "I Don't Like Being in a Car." All right. And a lot of their music is based on like anxiety and stuff too, and like these, you know, emotions and stuff like that. They're very simple, but they turn them into very simple lyrics, like yeah, but the song is just like very simple, like "I don't like being in a car," and it's just like sick ass guitar riffs. Like, yeah, like, but that. They just see, you know, like there's a singer, a girl singer, and then the guitar player, and they use the drum pedal, drum machine, and that's oh, okay. it. So it's very basic but very effective, I think. And yeah, they played a couple times. They played a lot this past year in different places. Kind of, they can play in like a lot of small venues because it's just a two-piece. They don't have like a full band or anything, but they played at Mycelium Gallery, which was where I saw them for the first time, and they liked them so much they had them back. But they also, we recorded a coffee talk with Elena. Oh, nice. And where she interviewed them, so you can check that out on the Mycelium Gallery's YouTube channel. So I helped them shoot that, and it was fascinating to hear them talk about their process and all this, you know, kind of where the idea even came from to form that group. So
are they on Spotify?
Yeah, they have a couple songs
or
on there.
Online?
Yeah, they don't have like a full, like they're very new too. They've only been performing, I think, this year. I think, so they've got a bunch of singles out, like, so they might have like 3 or 4 songs out, but they are recording an album, I believe, currently, and hopefully that'll be out in the first part of 2026. And in that time, I'm going to definitely, I've already talked to them, but I'm going to have them come on to do an episode to promote their album.
Yeah.
So look, check them out. That Sick Feeling on Instagram. And yeah, they've got a YouTube too that's got a bunch of videos. So yeah. All right. Congratulations to some definitely a couple of interesting groups right there, different, not even real full bands or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like that.
But making a lot of noise still.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And just, yeah, really effective song and original music, I think. So
this next one's my favorite.
The next category we have is
Hustler of the Year.
Yeah,
this is the person I would think is going to be the first person on Hustler Magazine. No. Hustler of the Year, Dave. What take
away? So my pick, yeah, this category in particular, I think this might be only the second time we've done it. Mm-hmm. But this one is more so who's kind of worked more, the best work ethic, or and kind of more, you know, really hustling and trying to push themselves and get in front of an audience. And that person for me is very easily, without a doubt, Brandon Killow.
Yeah, by far.
Easily one of the hardest. We've known him for several years now, and it's like he's always worked this hard, but I feel like this year he's worked harder than he's ever
worked.
Yeah,
he's tuned it up. Yeah.
So, which is insane to think about, but I really think, you know, you can't miss his promotions and this and everything on Instagram. I mean, he definitely does more than probably almost anyone except maybe the person that you picked.
Yeah.
but both of these winners are definitely deserving and probably some of the hardest working comedians that are out there. So congratulations, Brandon.
What's up? And you'll be able to see, he just recorded a special,
so,
but they're making it episodic. Yeah. So they're actually going to have another one, I think, in May.
Yeah, so that'll be really cool to see and exciting. Yeah, and it's really cool to see him hooked up at Twisters also and doing a lot over there.
Yeah.
So
all he needs is a place to run.
Yeah.
So.
He's definitely got, and now he's, I feel like this year, I mean, him getting involved with Twisters has kind of given him a lot of the support that he's been missing, you know, as far as just people to back him up and help and give him the platform that he really needs.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's going to make it.
Yeah.
You can tell, man, the guy's putting him work in for sure.
And just honestly, one of the funniest, probably in easily the top 3 comedians, local comedians, I mean, if not the funniest. I mean, yeah. He's really, really good. So everybody, if you haven't seen Brandon, go watch him.
Yeah. Check him out.
All right. And so who do you have for Hustler of the Year?
Hustler of the Year.
This guy, he might actually have tried to get on Hustler Magazine. Yes.
I don't, if not, then he definitely needs to, because I think for the most part, he can make it. He could get a good spread. But no, my favorite by far, Hustler of the Year, Andrew Patterson.
Yes.
Okay. Dude, this guy is, he started, he was like, you know what? I have to drive all the way into the city from Lawton to get stage time. I'm going to turn my money-making machine into a human laughing machine. And so he turned his tattoo parlor into a little comedy club, Comedy Avenue. And then he also has been producing, recording. He records everybody's stuff, too, when they're there. He produces all these shows at his spot. He also produces shows out of town. He, like, toured this year, and he's working very close with some of his favorite people, Matt Farrell and a few others. But he's been rocking it, man.
Yeah, he's definitely built a good team there, too, that are really dedicated. Brandon Whitaker, Israel Goldman, all those guys.
Hurley King
Lawton.
I forgot about Hurley.
But yeah, no, I love Andrew. He's definitely, like I said earlier, he's definitely one of the few that could challenge Brandon as far as the amount of content they put out. I mean Andrew, because not only does he do all these live shows, but I mean he's also putting out YouTube videos and reels and all kinds of stuff. And like I was thinking, like, he's a highly achieved tattoo artist. I mean but like I feel like he works harder at comedy than he does. I mean I'm sure he makes way more doing tattoos. but he puts in the work for comedy nothing. It's insane.
Well, I've seen watching him too, it's like, I know, being an electrician for 20 years, I'm like, I can do this in my sleep.
Yeah.
You know? So like, you can, not that you can't, you can turn it off, but you're like, all right, I can do something else while I'm doing this. Or this is already coming in. I've already made myself this.
So you can kind of focus more attention on something else.
And then also, I'm sure, just like me, he's not paying attention to his family. But they love him just the same. No, and I do too.
He
love
has
you,
a
bud.
Very supportive family.
Yeah, no, they're
sure.
good. They're real good with each other. They take good care of each other.
All right. So,
Brandy's doing most of the work.
She's the one actually keeping the tattoo place alive.
I really don't. No, but they do a great job. They're a great team.
Yeah,
too.
No. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know her very much at all, but she's always at the shows that I'm at. So,
taking pictures.
She's always there supporting.
Helping with the door. Yeah.
So, I like it. Very good to see. So everybody, if you haven't been to Comedy Avenue yet, you definitely go take a trip out there, because it's an amazing venue and Andrew's doing a lot of good work. So congratulations to Andrew and Brandon. All right, so congratulations to those two. Next category we have is
favorite performance.
Now this category is specifically one performance that we saw, or we each pick one performer that did. It's like it's almost like best moment. So let's see. Your turn first, right?
Okay, I had somebody that I was thinking of in this, and by far honorable mention now, because I just remembered something this moment.
They got knocked out.
They got knocked out, and I hate to do that, but because it was so good, I have to, and I'm sorry. But my runner-up was Brentley Cook.
Yeah.
Okay? Brentley did a show with us with Madame Meatloaf when she came out, and he not only did really great, but he did this thing where he laid on the floor, but the one that won for me is Dace Carlson, dressed up as Death and hosted during the Halloween mic at Bricktown Comedy Club.
Okay.
And he stayed in character and had such good jokes the whole way through.
Based on, were they like all going with that character? And
Death being Death and everything. That's the beauty of comedy for me. It's like, you cannot recreate that unless you recorded it.
Right.
You had to be there to see
and
it.
And it's not like he can even do that again. I mean, you'd have to wait till next Halloween.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like there's only a certain time that you could do that even.
And that's the craziest thing, dude, is that he had to have just wrote that. Like, yeah. You know, it was for this specifically.
Well, it's like he probably had some time, but it wasn't like he'd been working on it for years.
And it's
years.
A hosting spot at Bricktown Comedy Club open mic, and he lit it up. So, congrats, Dace.
I'm amazing.
A big fan, dude.
I like that answer for sure, because it's definitely, like you said, it goes along with the idea of the category as far as, like, this is a moment. You know, you had to be there. Like, I kept thinking about this category for my pick and was like, what show were you at, was I at, that, like, I just, like, laughed, like, so harder than any other show, you know? And those shows, for me, have been, there's been about four of them this past year, and they're my favorite shows to go to. And like I said, every time it's like the funniest thing I watch that week easily. But so my winner for favorite performance of this year is Jesse Kyle for Moist Battle 3 this past year, where Jesse won the title for Moist Battle champion and is currently still the champion, because the battle afterwards was Monster Moist, which was a kind of a one-off. But Jesse will be back defending the title for Moist Battle champion, I think, in a couple months. So everybody check that out. Hosted by the Martin DeProst, and that'll be at Mycelium Gallery. I'm not sure if they set a date yet, but I think it might be February or something like that. But anyways, yeah, that performance, Jesse is just such a good performer. And ever since I first saw Jesse, it was like an open mic hosted by DeMar and DeProst. I'm like, this comic is so, she's like Kristen Wiig, is people, you know, like,
okay.
But just like over the top, just insane, just like, I mean, she's an actor too, so, and an amazing actor. I've seen her. I've worked with her on a couple of Martin DeProst projects for film, and seen her just act, you know, be a real actor, and seen her in some other films since then too. And it's just like a very, very impressive performer. But that, she was definitely easily the champion at that show. Just the kind of stuff that she was doing, just very, like I said, using her body, using, you know, just really, really getting the crowd involved, and just yeah, insane. Insane person to watch. Well, I love it. So shout out to Jesse Kyle for my favorite performance. And yeah, like I said, definitely go watch Moist Battle 4 when it returns.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. So, congratulations to those performers. Next, and second to last, this is the penultimate. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
The penultimate category. This category is
favorite local comic.
Now, this category is different than our last category of performance. Performer of the year, because this is more so a vibes based.
Yeah, it's a feel.
This is kind of just your favorite, and specifically comedian, our favorite local comic. Because performer of the year could be magician, musician,
juggler.
You know, any kind of performance actor,
shadow boxer.
Yeah,
yeah, that's performance.
Golfer.
It's basketball.
Anyways, that's not this. Okay, yeah. This is our favorite local comic specifically, and kind of just like you had put it, like who shows up at open mic that you're just like, yes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
So let's see. Yeah, you went first last time. Mm-hmm. So my pick for favorite local comic is the very wonderful and very funny Anna Rhodes.
Whoa, yeah, dude. That's a good one.
I think Anna is just a great person. Mm-hmm. She's producing shows now. What's that place called?
Oki State.
Yeah. And where is it at?
In Hera.
Yeah. You're glad you know all these things. For my favorite local comic, I don't know shit about her.
Well, I'm always eyeballing.
Got a wonderful, wonderful husband.
Really,
and honestly, she deserves this win because she is always overlooked by Mike.
Because of Mike. Mike is her husband, and he is the best. That's like every time I see Anna, I'm like, oh, Mike's here.
And honestly, I know for a fact that she is probably listening to this because she tells me she listens to our podcast regularly.
Oh, I mean, I love seeing Anna. No.
Well, I love Anna. She's a great person and very funny. Hopefully, I know she's taken some time off here and there from performing comedy, but hopefully she continues to do it because I love seeing her every time. I think that one of the things I like, I think she's just like a genuinely funny person too. It's like you just, you know, anytime I've heard her like on podcasts and things like that, it's just like she's just funny to talk to.
Yeah, as a human.
So, yeah, shout out Anna Rhodes. Follow her on Instagram. And, yeah, go check out one of her shows at the Okie State Room. Hopefully when she does that again. So, okay, who is your pick for favorite local comic?
All right, dude. You know that this was tough for me because I didn't want to give him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, he's too strong already. But I just couldn't help myself because every time I see this dude, just can't help but smile.
Put a smile
just
on your
smile
face.
On my face, dude. And it's got to be Joel Morrison, aka Stinky Johnson himself.
He puts a smile on your face and a smell in your nose. Yeah.
He's like, hey man, is this my mom? But he by far has got I love the puppy dog energy.
Yeah,
he reminds me a lot of myself when I was younger.
Because every time I've seen him, he's always got a big smile on his face.
Mm-hmm. He's happy to be where he's at. He brings the jokes. Mm-hmm. He comes in prepared and he's down to hang. And big fan. Big
That's
fan.
Awesome. Yeah. Love Stinky.
Love you, Stinks.
He's also a new comic too, right? I mean, fairly new.
About a year or so, I think. Yeah. He did that. I mean, he's really come around because he did that SoonerCon with us. And he did a few shows with us. And he's getting good.
Yeah. Shout out Joel Morrison for that. Mm-hmm. And Anna
Take that
Rhodes.
Satisfaction.
All right, that's
Anna Rhodes.
Our favorite local comic. So now we come to, we'll take a quick jump over. We're going to leave you hanging for the performer of the year. We're going to do some quick hits.
This episode of Rhythm and Wit was brought to you by Campbell & Son Electric, Oklahoma City's trusted one-truck electrical contractor with over 20 years of experience in the field. Whether it's upgrading your home's electrical service, troubleshooting issues, or tackling small commercial projects, Campbell & Son Electric delivers top-notch work with care and attention you'd expect from a family business. Servicing areas like Dell City, Edmond, Yukon, Mustang, and beyond, they're your go-to for reliable expert service. Need help with your next project? Visit CampbellAndSonElectric.com today and get it done right the first time. Campbell & Son Electric, brightening Oklahoma, one wire at a time.
So these are kind of some just shout outs mostly. I mean, we just picked one winner for each of these categories. And mostly the category is made up just to give the performer a shout out. Yeah. So for the first, these and a couple of these are a few of these we've done before. So our first category is going to be favorite old timer. And we've had previous winners, of course, the great Dennis Mailey.
Yeah.
But this year, there's another old timer that we've kind of gotten to know a little bit, Miss Connie Lee.
Connie Lee, yep.
Very funny, very just sweet person.
Out there flaunting it, just flaunting it, dude. She's been doing really good. She went up to Las Vegas and did some shows up there, and she did Bamboo Room for us right after that.
Well, speaking of being old, she just celebrated her forever 69 birthday. So,
ew. what is forever 69?
Is that what it was? Shit.
No. Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah,
forever 69.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's just not coming up for air. Yeah, no, but she's doing really great.
Yeah, she's awesome. I think also producing shows. Mm-hmm. I think maybe once a month in Norman at a place out there. We usually shout those out on the upcoming events. So shout out to Kylie.
What up, Cody?
Yeah, keep up the great work. Next category we have is a. I think this winner is unbeaten in this category, 3 years running.
3 years running.
And this is our favorite comedy wife.
I wonder who it could be. I'm not going to. Do you? Can I say it?
Yeah.
Liz Campbell.
Liz Campbell, favorite comedy wife.
Because I can't say anybody else.
No, but she really is, yeah, she is by far. Deserving for this mm-hmm. award because she's at every one of your shows.
No. No, but she's at most of them.
I'd say like 90%. I mean, not like your shows, but the ones you produce. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she does. She helps.
Yeah, that's the thing. She's always there. Yeah. She's probably, if you're not familiar who Liz is and you've been to one of Nick's shows, she's the one that checks you in the door.
She's the one that checks you in. She's usually drinking a Diet Coke and knitting something.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, by far she's big, helpful. She watches the kids if she can't come because the kids can't be watched.
The only reason she's not there is because the kids have something going on. So.
And she's making her own way in comedy as
already,
well.
Yeah, she's a very funny comedian herself now. So she might be in contention for one of these other categories soon.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get past just my wife. Anyways, love you, baby.
But definitely, I think, and she could be on this category for best crafts because she's definitely one of the best crafty people that I know.
Well, and she has her own business, Thinkable in Life, where she makes and creates different crocheted sewing things.
Kitties.
Kitties, whales, octopussies. But yeah, she makes all those and you can look at those and purchase those on Instagram at Thinkable in Life
and at Mycelium Gallery.
Hey,
she's got
that's right.
Ball over there.
Dude, she can't keep stuff up there.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So next category, this is a brand new category. We may or may not have made up just for this person, but it is the best nickname
by far. The best nickname, most, what would you say? Confident.
Yes.
Right?
And maybe even most controversial. You want to say it together?
Let's say it together. Ready?
Big Dick, a.k.a. Ian Kennedy.
That's right, buddy. That's right. Now, here's the thing. Me and Ian have known each other since before comedy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I actually worked on his old business called Naughty Axes, where you would throw axes, and there would be almost naked girls nearby. And that's why you would call it naughty. Mm-hmm. And
I thought it was like the knot in the tree.
It's a double entendre. But yeah. But he had some cool stuff going on up there. And then I actually ran into him after I worked for him. And he was like, hey, why'd you charge me so much? But now 3 years into it.
Yeah. He's really, we definitely wanted to shout Ian out for just something, just because I think he's an amazing person, super supportive.
Got
in
a
the
magnum
scene.
Personality.
He's got a. The large size. I mean, that's just large.
Yeah, dude. Ladies.
And some of the best homemade t-shirts.
That's right. He makes his own t-shirts, and they're always funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses a cricket.
And one of the best, obviously he does improv comedy at OKC Improv, but kind of one of the best comedy on the spot. Performers, I think.
Yeah,
he's pretty good. Yeah,
he's been doing a lot better. Yeah, he's been busy.
Yeah,
he hasn't been able to show up as much, because otherwise, I think he would have won a spot.
Yeah,
but he's been. I think
no,
he's been
I like
working.
Him. Yeah. I think he's. Yeah, he's just funny. He's another one of those. Is just a funny personality
and a good guy to see.
Yeah, for
out
sure.
There.
All right, so congratulations, Ian. Next category we have is another returning category. This one is the most jokes about genitalia. And this category, if you watched the show before, you might think that this one went to a previous or another person we shouted out earlier, Mr. Andrew Patterson, but he was beat out this year by the most jokes about genitalia, and this year's winner is, you want to announce it?
Yeah. Joel Morrison. My homie. Dude, you did it. You beat Andrew. You beat Andrew for the most jokes about genitalia. Hope it feels good. I hope you feel like you're winning. Because Andrew's real mad. Yeah. He wrote so many penis jokes.
He's got hundreds penis jokes.
And he won't. He's like a savant with it, too. It just comes to him. He'll, like, somebody will drop a bunch of toothpicks and he'll be like, penis joke.
But like you had mentioned about, I mean, most of Andrew's jokes are about penises in particular, but Joel talks about all types of genitalia.
All types. Stuff that hasn't even existed yet. They haven't even made these, and Joel's talking about them. So that's where Andrew's very specific. Joel, he does not hold himself back. He loves all, that's on. He loves all genitalia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, congratulations.
Congrats, Joel.
Or not. To the person with the most jokes about genitalia. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, last quick hit we've got to shout out is this one also may or may not have been made up for this person. This category is the person you don't want to see at a comedy competition. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because he wins them all and you want to see it together.
Yeah.
Sepated cheeks.
Man, congratulations. You see this guy?
He won again.
Damn it. Didn't stand a chance. Nobody stood a chance on that one. But yeah, if you see Sepated cheeks at your competition, go ahead and leave. You ain't going to win.
He's won most of the comedy competitions that I've seen this year, except for one, which I was surprised that I forgot about, which we had mentioned before. It was almost a year ago. It was at the Punchline premiere at Comedy Avenue, and he was runner-up to Big A Russell.
Big A. Shout out, Big A.
But yeah, he's the only person that's been able to take down Cepeda so far.
Move my hand over here.
Because he's won literally every other thing.
Yeah, every time I turn around, this dude's holding a new trophy or and holding a belt.
He's currently won the release of his comedy special, so go check that out on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
It's pronounced Cepeda.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And one of our favorite episodes of the podcast this year, or runner up anyways. Because it was an amazing episode. I love Cepeda. Every time I see him, he's just like one of, I feel like like the best friend in comedy that I've made. Yeah. You know?
He's just very warm.
Yeah.
He's a warm individual.
He's such a good guy. So that's definitely.
If it wasn't for Joel, I'd probably pick him. You know?
Well, you can't win everything.
Yeah. Well, it's not fair.
Yeah. No. So anyways, congratulations to Cepeda, the person you don't want to see at a comedy competition. Mm-hmm. Just take a break. You can take a break.
Yeah. Let somebody else win. Because he won. I mean, it didn't start, but it was like Othello's.
Yeah.
And after he won Othello's,
that was a year before.
Yeah. Well, then he won the roast show at Tower City Comedy Festival that January.
He won. I know he won the Twisters comedy competition recently. Mm-hmm. He's also won
that roast show that they just had.
Which actually, he was beaten again by Brandon Killo on the second round of that, or the second show. He won originally, and then the next show, Brandon took the crown.
Yeah. Well, those are two juggernauts right there.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Brandon might be the only person that's funny, you know, as funny as Spada.
Yeah. Because who would that be? That would be like Captain America with Thor's hammer and Thanos. That's who that is. You know?
Basically.
Yeah. Anyways, if you guys are into Marvel.
So that's it for the quick hits. And we've come to our last category, the one you've all been waiting for. It is the
Performer of the Year.
Now, I forgot which one of us left off on the favorite local comic. I think you did. So I think you go first.
Okay. All right. So performer of the year, someone I've seen, they've improved the most. Mm-hmm. Every time I watch him, they send it, and he kills it. I love him. I love watching him. I love watching him grow. Also like his comedy, kind of. But by far, performer of the year, Cody Troutman. Yay. Give it up, everybody. Cody Troutman.
Congratulations, my Cody. Hero. He's definitely been probably in very much in contention for Hustler of the Year. I would say definitely been killing the game. He's produced two very successful comedy shows this year, and he's probably going to continue with Comedic Confessions.
He's going to be bringing some stuff to... He's going to do a show for us that put a cork in it.
Okay.
So he's going to do one of those. I forget what
it is. Is it kind of a pared down type?
It's a new thing.
Yeah.
It's a new thing, so it's going to be a surprise. I'm going to let him do all that, but we're excited to have him out.
I like that, too, doing different things that put a cork in it. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Yeah, I love Cody. He's a great guy. Yeah, also a good friend, too. I mean, we've... Definitely really great. Just, I've said this before on this podcast. It's like, I think he's probably one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, also. And just the most knowledgeable, most just like very methodical in everything he does, like as far as even comedy, as far as just really thinking about every single aspect and trying to.
I don't think he half asses
anything. Yeah.
I don't ever. Every time I see him, he's working on something or he's about to work on something. Mm-hmm. And like I said, his improvement as far as performance over the year has just been, dude, I've loved watching him anyways, but now it's like, oh my God, what is happening?
He's definitely getting the reps in and just getting in front of a lot of new crowds as he's like traveling to Vegas, going to all kinds of places.
Yeah, went to Chicago. Went up to Kansas last weekend, the weekend last.
He's been hitting the road a lot, and I think that's really important, honestly. I think that's something that he's doing that every comic should be doing, but I mean, definitely most comics are not just getting out of town and getting on different shows. He's always getting into festivals all over the place and just really, really trying to expand and trying to get in front of new crowds, which I think is the most important thing. So I think a lot of people just get stuck and just kind of get comfortable doing the same shows here every month or whatever. Congratulations, Cody. Very well deserved.
Way to go, Cody.
And for my pick of Performer of the Year, surprise, surprise, he won again. It's the Painted Cheeks.
He did it. Oh, God.
Performer of the Year definitely was not really a hard choice because, I mean, he's won a lot of stuff. I didn't have to make the choice. You know, the audience made the choice.
They keep making that choice. Yeah.
Definitely. Like I said already, one of my favorite people every time I see him, he's always very, like you said, warm, very just fun, and just also just a funny person to talk to about whatever's going on. He's gonna make it funny and make it just put a smile on your face too. So I love Cepeda. His episode was definitely one of my favorites that we did with him this year too, and that was a long time coming because we've been trying to get him on for probably a year before that.
Yeah, I think we did.
But it's tough being up in Tulsa, and that's what's crazy too, is like he's in Tulsa, out of Tulsa. He performs there all the time, but he's almost performing more in Oklahoma City than in Tulsa, I feel like. I mean, he's always he's down here all the time. I mean, I don't know. I think he just performs a lot in general, but it's just crazy that I often forget that he's a Tulsa comic.
You know, because he's down here so much.
I see him so much. So.
Well, every time he comes through, I throw him on court because it's nice to have him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you throw him up on the stage, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. So, I've seen him. I've definitely, he's been one, him and Cody are two of the comics that I've probably watched the most this year, too. And maybe like Taylor Dunn.
Yeah.
Just because I was doing a lot of his shows.
As far as taking pictures. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, but it is like Cody and Cepeda, definitely two of the best comics that we have in the city, I think. I mean, we've got a lot of really good ones. But yeah, that's been a great It's been a great year watching all these people. I don't know.
I've been
having a great time. And
I could have been sitting at home watching my kids. But
it's just fun getting to know them too. Mm-hmm. It's like we're friends with these people that are just like such good performers and very hardworking and put so much time and effort into this amazing craft of comedy. So,
well, that's I say it, but I because I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hidden talent here.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff. You just don't see them mm-hmm. because they're not on TV.
Right,
but there's a lot of good fun happening here.
Yeah,
all the time.
I still think I've always known too. I mean, for 20 years almost of performing in this city, it's not so much that we lack the talent, but I do think it is more so on the audience side of like nobody really wants to go see a lot of live performance here for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, the city continues to grow. I mean, even like you think about like I'm DoorDash a lot and I'm like always up in Edmond and UConn. I mean, just there's a lot of people here, so everybody's spread out. That's the problem, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, we continue to grow and opportunities. I mean, there's definitely more opportunities today than there ever has been for stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah.
In this city. So mm-hmm. it's definitely there's a crowd there. I just wish it was a little bit bigger and more supportive even.
Yeah. Well, in due time.
Yeah.
I think it's coming, man. I know at least 200 people that like to come out to comedy.
Yeah.
I got a little email list.
Oh, nice.
Please come out. I'm begging you, and you try. I do want to give you an award.
Okay.
All right. Then I don't have anything, But the Took a Big Leap Award.
Yeah. All right.
Dude, it's tough. Whenever I started my business... Probably the most stressed I've been in my entire life, right? But I know how hard that is to kind of just go out and go, I'm going to trust me.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it. No, you're killing it.
This is the best decision I've ever made. I mean, honestly, it is stressful too because, you have to just rely on yourself and you have to make sure you're going to make enough money to pay those bills. Mm. And you can't just, show up and punch in and go home. you have to... be there, but I love it because it's like, I get to do so much more of the things that I want to do because of it. Because I can just, somebody says, hey, you want to come shoot a 80s themed holiday party on a Thursday night? I'm like, yes. Yeah. I don't even have to ask off.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
So shout out Taylor Dunn. That was amazing.
Yeah.
But, anything like that. It's like I got a job the other day. It was like a guy was wanting me to take photos of a duplex that he owned so he could list it on Airbnb, And we went back and forth for a few days because he was still getting it ready, but he knew he needed a photographer. So I wasn't sure exactly when I was going to get to go do it, but then eventually he's like, all right, you want to come? I'm like, yep, I'm there, no question. So
I love hearing that, man.
I like having the freedom of working for myself, and I think it's definitely working. It's, a little bit slower than I'd like. I'd like to do less deliveries and more photos, but I think I'll get there. So, right.
Well, use Dave every chance you get.
And
you've been great for me, and thank you.
And then, Nick, you'll get the award for most
biggest
produced
dick.
Shows.
Oh.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Probably the favorite or top producer in the city, honestly.
I know it's consistent.
I think it's think it's probably an easy choice, or, if somebody had to ask, who is the best producer, and it's probably an easy thing to say, Nick Campbell. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And what would you say?
Who else is even competing? I mean, there's not, there's no
Brick
one
Town.
Else in competition. Yeah. Besides maybe Twisters or, like an entire club, but you're one man doing it.
Yeah.
Putting on more shows than those people or some of those clubs even do. So, well,
like I said, the whole time I've been doing it. For me, I've been selfish the whole time. I've said that, but by far, it's having the people behind me, having good comedians to trust, and I can't do it by myself. I can't fill that time, and it takes all of us. So, and I want to see us all grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, the only way to do that is make a bunch of shows.
Yeah. And so thanks, everybody.
And like I said, that's something I've always advocated for, is like creating your own opportunities. And it's like you've built your own comedy club out of a winery.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're very fortunate that Micah and Jess let us.
But that's kind of, I know it's like one of your dreams is to own a comedy club, a real comedy club one day, but it's like, shit, just start now. You know,
I like the idea of producing.
It. Yeah.
And then just producing across the country.
Yeah.
Instead of being locked into one spot. I mean, eventually one day I'd love that money.
Yeah.
To like have enough money to make my own cool place to practice. But I mean, that involves winning the lottery. I'm still trying. I do scratchers. You know what I'm saying? I buy lottery tickets.
But yeah. Well, I think that's it for this year's Rhythm and Wit Awards. This has been a fun one. This is always one of my favorite shows to do, just because we get to look back and shout out so many amazing people and talk about the great things we've seen and done. So everyone, we can't wait to continue to shout out those people every week on the Rhythm Wit podcast and YouTube channel. Thanks everyone for watching. Thanks Nick for helping me build this channel and talk to so many cool people.
Thanks for giving me a place to wear this bow tie. I haven't had a chance. Y'all bought it in 2016. So it's a really great, and then also thank you, bud. I mean, right, for as long as we've been working together on stuff. Yeah. All right.
That's amazing. All right. Well, everyone,
see y'all later.